We didn't even set that up. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Things that make us go, ah. Not only things like that, but there is kind of this universal way that that phrase is elicited from us. When do we go, ah? When we see little babies. Little babies make people go, ah. When we see puppies and kittens, we go, ah. In fact, we do that a lot of times when we see any sort of little mammal because they're so cute and they're so furry, and we look at them and we go, ah. You know, one of the greatest exhibits they have at the National Zoo in Washington is the panda exhibit, and it is never greater than when they have baby pandas there. You can't barely see what's going on through the enclosure because there are hundreds of people lined up just so they can go, ah. There reaches a point in time, though, that those things that we go, ah, about, don't elicit that response any longer because they get bigger. They get meaner. They get uglier. They get scary. And that's just the teenagers. But there is that sense that those things really do happen. The strange thing about where I lived in New Jersey before I came here was the fact that in the northwest corner of the state, they estimated there were approximately 3,000 black bears in New Jersey. And so very seldom would a day go by where I lived that we wouldn't see a bear. Because what happens was any bear that was caught somewhere considered to be a nuisance bear in New Jersey, they would ship it up to our end of the state because it was the most rural part, and they were hoping, I think, they'd swim across the Delaware and end up in Pennsylvania. But they never did. The problem with the bears was the fact that you had people living in this environment who had never experienced such wildlife before. And so springtime would come and you'd get those little furry cubs. And people would go, ah. And then to want to get closer to them. And then mama would show up. And all the ahs would stop. But that's the way nature works. I can remember growing up, I was probably 8, 9, 10 years old. We were visiting somebody's house, I don't know who it was, and they had a baby raccoon. Cute little fuzzy thing. Everybody wanted to hold it. And it seemed particularly enamored, I remember, with my father. And it was crawling over my father's head and over his shoulders and everything else. And everybody was giggling with delight at this furry little creature until it pooped on my father. And then it wasn't so cute and it wasn't so fun and furry anymore. And raccoons are one of those animals that once they get out of that little stage, they're pretty nasty. And they can do all kinds of damage, especially in people who live in farming communities. They carry diseases, they get into everything, and they're just mean. If you've ever had an encounter at night with a raccoon, it's one that you probably won't forget because it makes you want to take a step back. And apparently this has been going on for quite some time because over time, we've developed coon dogs to track the raccoons. Now, for those of you, and I'm sure there's probably four or five of you here that have not gone coon hunting, what happens is you do this at night. Guns, flashlights, dogs. The dogs get the scent of a coon. They begin to track the coon. They find the coon. They chase the coon. The raccoon goes up a tree, and then they stand around the tree, and they howl, and you know that there is a raccoon in the tree. And so you run over to where the dogs are. You take your flashlights, and you look around to try to find the raccoon. And sometimes you can't find the raccoon. Because when you're in the woods, especially in Pennsylvania, they're so dense, the raccoon has this great ability to jump from tree to tree. The dogs, however, are still stuck on the one tree, barking up the wrong tree. If you ever wondered where that came from? It may have come from our first lesson, actually. Because in the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, it truly was the fact that Adam and Eve barked up the wrong tree. They had the entire garden to choose from. Everything that God had placed there was for their taking. Except that one wrong tree. And so God comes walking into the woods, realizes something's wrong, puts two and two together and says, "Hey, Eve dear, did you eat out of that tree?" Actually, he starts with Adam. And Adam says, "Well, it wasn't me, really. Yeah, I did, but she made me do it." And now Adam's barking up the wrong tree. So God goes to Eve and says, "Eve, you ate the fruit." "Well, it was the snake's fault, and now Eve's barking up the wrong tree." And the snake who started the whole thing, this serpent, sent them up the wrong tree in the first place. Because we have a history as a people, spending our time barking up the wrong trees. Not only collectively, but individually. Because when we make choices, our choices are based on whether we're going to pick the right tree or the wrong tree. And what the story of that moment in the Garden of Eden teaches us really is when you try to put God out of the equation, when you remove God from the decisions and the choices you're going to make, that's when you end up barking up the wrong tree. You see, God, when we place God within our lives, when we allow God to be part of our choices, when we pray about those decisions that we're making, then we find we're barking up the right tree. We're in the right place at the right time, doing the things that God would call us to do. That is when we find ourselves being in the presence of God. Barking up the correct tree, not being lost, not doing something we shouldn't do, but doing something exactly that we are supposed to be doing. How long have you lived in the valley, Artie? Okay, so for Artie, for over 40 years, it's never, ever rained on her birthday. And then she decides to use this birthday as that line in the sand where she's going to retire. And it rains on that day. Could you be barking up the wrong tree? But the reality is that Artie doesn't bark up many trees incorrectly. There was a time a few years ago where God came calling to Artie and placed this suburban congregation in the midst of a woman who had dedicated her life to urban ministry. And it had to have left her scratching her head, wondering whether this was exactly where she was called to be. And so she prays. And she discerns. And she wonders. And she prays some more. And then she finds that God has placed her in that right tree. Because it is in this tree that Artie decided to commit herself, that we found a new life here within this congregation. With her presence and with the gifts that she shared with us, we were able to do things and continue to do things that were never ever considered before within the life of this community. She has touched the lives of people. She has held the hands of people. She has loved people. She has guided people. She has taught people. But most of all, she has blessed people with the presence of God that she has brought into this world. Now, if you would have talked to others who's talked to Artie when this was all going on, this discernment process of whether she was going to come to Living Water or not, there would be people who would told her that she was barking up the wrong tree, that this was not the place that she should be. And yet, Artie placed her trust in the presence of God and what God would call her to do in her life. And as it turns out, this was the exact right tree for Artie to be. The right tree to climb. The place to be. Where she was able to share and utilize her gifts to make us a better community collectively and a better and better people individually through what she has given us, through what she has taught us, through how she has loved us. And we thank God that He has blessed us with your presence. And I can firmly say that this is by far the best diaconal minister I have ever worked with. And she'll tell you, well, wait a minute, you've never worked with one before. But I know with the standard that Artie has set, by far there will be never anybody who can equal that measure of spirituality, that measure of faith, that measure of joy, that measure of sincerity, and that measure of love that she has brought into my world and into the world of Living Water. And so we thank God for giving us that ability to discern those trees within our world. We thank God for giving us the ability to be able to guide our lives in a manner in which we can find ourselves barking up the right tree. But as Artie will tell you, the only way that will ever happen, the only way we will ever be able to bark up the right tree, is by making sure that God is in the mix. Helping us with our choices, allowing God to lead us and guide us where we need to go, sending us to those places that we need to be. And as Artie begins her barking once again, I am sure that God will send her to those places that she needs to go. And that she has been a blessing here, she will continue to be a blessing throughout the world. In those places that she goes, and in the lives of the people she touches. And so as we ask God to help us through our discernments, to help us pick those right trees within our lives, we foremost thank God for the gift, for the love, and the witness of Artie. Amen.